Support for this market report comes from Country Financial, providing generations of Central Illinois farmers with crop hail insurance programs for individual producers, immediate family member, or tenant-landlord relationships. More information is available from your local Country Financial representative or at country-crop.com.
Good Thursday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. Scout saw more good quality spring wheat on the second day of the Wheat Quality Council's Hard Red Spring Wheat Tour. Scout sampled wheat in western and northern parts of North Dakota on Wednesday and estimated an average yield of 47.3 bushels per acre, up from 44.6 BPA last year. Spring wheat yield averaged 48.4 BPA with a high yield of 83.9 and a low yield of 24 from 150 fields. That compares to last year's 45 bushels per acre average. Caterpillar's second quarter net income rose 4.1% even as revenue slipped. Caterpillar earned $999 million, or $1.57 per share in the quarter. A year earlier, it earned $960 million, or $1.45 per share. Revenue for the Peoria, Illinois company dropped 3.2% to $14.15 billion from $14.62 billion. This morning, USDA reported export sales for the week ending July 17th. The numbers look like this in millions of bushels. Wheat this year, 16.3. Corn this year, 11.5. Next year, 45.0. Soybeans this year, 8.3. Next year, 90.1. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, trading 17,032, is up 7 points. The NASDAQ, 3985, now 81, is up 5.5. And the S&P 500 is 1982, up 1.25 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is World Weather Incorporated meteorologist Drew Lerner.
This morning's Midwest weather continues to look about as it did in yesterday's forecast. No major changes have taken place. Cool weather settled into parts of the region as we went through the day yesterday, and afternoon temperatures were limited to the 70s and 80s across most of the Midwest. Some lower 90s occurred on the southern fringes of the region. Today we'll likely see some additional cool weather occurring across the region. Quite a few areas will see a similar temperature distribution to that of yesterday, with 70s and 80s again occurring across a large part of the region. As we get ourselves into the day on Friday, we'll likely see the temperatures trending a little bit warmer once again. And in fact, Friday and Saturday will be our two warmest days across the Midwest. We'll expect temperatures those 2 days to work their way back into the 80s in a significant manner. We'll expect the 90s to also occur in the southern parts of the region, lower and middle 90s occurring from Nebraska into southwest Western Iowa, Kansas, Missouri, and the lower Ohio River Valley, and portions of the neighboring Tennessee and lower Mississippi River basins will be included in the warmer bias. The northern parts of the Midwest will see temperatures more solidly in the 80s, with only a handful of upper 70s on the northernmost fringes of the region. These temperatures are much closer to normal and to what we would expect to see in the middle of summer, but they're only going to last for about 2 days, and another cool air mass will begin to push into the region from the north, and we'll likely see the temperatures Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday of next week trending cooler across the region slowly from north to south. And as we get to that point of the coolest temperatures being present, we'll see again another couple of days worth of 70s and lower 80s for highs across a big part of the region. Now, there is a chance that we'll see some shower and thunderstorm activity accompanying the cool air masses as they move through the region, but it looks like the southwestern Corn Belt will be disfavored in all rain events. And by the southwestern Corn Belt, I'm talking about the area from parts of Nebraska and southwestern Iowa, portions of Kansas, Missouri, and even into southern Illinois and parts of the northern U.S. Delta region. These areas may not be completely dry, but whatever rain does occur is going to be light and erratically distributed, leading to a net drying biased environment, very similar to what has already been occurring. Now, of course, the northern Delta has had a lot of excessive rains in recent weeks, and the soil is still plenty moist down deep in the ground, so the odds of having a serious problem with dryness in that region is relatively low. That may not be the case, though, for some of these other areas further to the north in Missouri and Kansas and Nebraska, southwestern Iowa, portions of southern Illinois, even western Kentucky are seeing some drying bias, and these areas may get eventually a little bit drier than desired, and some crop stress may eventually start to show up. But for the most part, we're still doing well with the temperatures not being excessively warm across the region. We're not going to see the stress level so high that we seriously hurt the crop development potential, at least not for now. If we go through the next couple of weeks and get no rain in these areas and then get into late August and we all of a sudden start seeing hotter temperatures without any precipitation, the stress levels will become far greater, and then we will talk about smaller yields in some of these areas. But there's such a large percentage of the central and eastern Midwest that are seeing ideal crop conditions right now, that if we did go into a drier, warmer mode, it would be almost more beneficial to the soybean and late corn crops than it would be detrimental. Yields are still expected to be quite high in the central and eastern parts of the Midwest, and whatever yield reductions occur in the Southwest are not expected to be very dramatic. By the way, our low temperatures over these next few days during these cooler bouts will likely be limited to the 50s and 60s, giving crops plenty of rest. I'm meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for agricultural weather on WILL comes from Busey. Busey is proud to reinvest in our communities, one project at a time, with financial guidance and support to volunteers and community leaders. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Let's see how futures are currently trading. Hard red winter September wheat, 630 and a quarter, now 630 even, up 6.5. December, 643 and a half, up 7. Soft September wheat, 536 and a half, up 5.75. December, 559 and a quarter, up 4.75. September corn, 364 and a half, up 2. December, 372 and a quarter, up 1.5. Go out to July of 15 at 399, up 1.5. August soybeans, 12.12, up 11. November, 10.91 and a quarter, up 14.75. August soybean meal, 395.40, up 390. August soybean oil, 36.59, up 39. August live cattle, 157.45, up 140. August feeders, 217.72 and a half, up 47 and a half. August lean hogs, 122.87 and a half, and they are down 170, now down 172 and a half at 22.85. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Ellen Dearden of Ag Review. She is in Morton, Illinois. Good morning, Ellen.
Good morning, Dave.
So, should we get too excited about either of the little reversals that we saw yesterday in new crop beans or new crop corn?
I think the follow-through buying in the new crop beans, which was a little more active than in the corn market, looked pretty encouraging. We took out the early week highs in the soybeans. We weren't able to do that in corn. Thus far, we've stayed below the really small gaps that we left Monday morning to the downside. Open interest is moving higher on up days in the corn. That's encouraging. That means we've got some new buying. But my guess is that's probably commercial buying. We're seeing Asia coming in and doing some buying, Japan, South Korea, of U.S. corn.
Looks to me like in the August beans you could get another quarter out of it anyway.
Yeah, we can. Commercials have moved a lot of bidding out to the November futures, and so things look a little bit skewed there, but the Gulf is still awfully strong at $1.60 over the August futures, and that ought to support this August futures position. Tomorrow, Friday, August options in the soy complex will expire, and it looks like $12 is the key strike in the August beans, and in the August meal, $400.
Let's turn our attention to the wheat, which is really something overhanging the market, and it's probably holding back corn to some degree.
Yeah, it is. Black Sea wheat is just priced so much cheaper in the export market. The Russian harvest is about a third done. Japan's been a buyer. We have a little softer dollar price overnight. We're trying to talk up that Canada has lost some of its crop, but it still is going to be a big crop. We haven't moved out all our old crop wheat, and when you look at the world supply, it's pretty darn large.
A word or two about livestock before we let you go.
Cattle on feed report on Friday, and this cattle market's just been hot, hot, hot. Hogs down again today. Hogs just look like they're really doggy at this stage of the game. Weights are up, so tonnage isn't down as much as the numbers themselves would reflect on a slaughter basis.
Thank you, Ellen. That's Ellen Dearden of AgriView, and she is in Moreton, Illinois. September corn, 363 and a half, up one. December, 371 and a quarter, up a half. August beans, 1210, up nine. November, 1090, up 13 and a half. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's now 9:01 Central Time.